Amen. Thank you, musicians and singer, for entertaining the Spirit of the Lord this morning. I tell you, I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Like Brother Gidro said, it was in the prayer room, and we bring it in here. And the way we're going to maintain it is to keep our hearts and our mind as one in lifting up His name and praising Him this morning. God bless you this morning. I'm going to go into the Word of the Lord quickly. Not going to be too long. Not going to speak on anything you hadn't heard before. But just want to remind us of a few things that we have as an obligation as a Christian to do. Amen. That's what, to me, that's what teaching's all about. That's what the Lord did. Going about teaching in parables and in the synagogue. We've titled this lesson this morning, The Light of the World. And truly we are the light of this world. Jesus referred to us as two things in His ministry, as salt and light. We're both of those. We have to be full of the salt, a salt that has not lost its savor. We have to be a bright light. And the more we get of Him on the inside, the brighter the light's going to burn. Amen, amen. I'm going to read a few scriptures while you're standing. Thank you for standing for the Word. I don't take that lightly, standing for the Word of God. If you read Jewish culture, the temple workers, when they would bring the scroll to whoever was going to read and teach, they would take it from the place and hold it very, very close to their bosom as they carried it, lest they drop it and desecrate the Word. And I've dropped my Bible before, and I don't thank the Lord thinks that much about it. I just dropped my Bible. But it is good to reverence the Word of God. Amen. Amen. John chapter 1, starting with verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Talking about John the Baptist. He was not that light. John the Baptist wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Thank you, Jesus, for being the light of this world. Amen. God bless you. You might be seated. Continuing with some more verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The very one that spoke light at the creation into existence is the one that gives us the light that will shine in our hearts. The same God. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I don't want to be known as somebody in this world that's crooked and perverse. I want to be the light that shines in a crooked and perverse world. Sometimes it's hard to stand alone. But I tell you, we have to sometimes. And when I was studying this, I got my encyclopedia down. I wanted to see, I remember a few things about light when I was going into school, and what they taught us about light. And as you all may know, and as I learned, light travels at about 186,000 miles a second. That's fast. And I thought about the rapture. The Bible says we're going to be caught up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that word moment in the original Greek manuscript means a segment of time that can no longer be divided. That's quick. That may be faster than light. I'm not sure. They say if the light of the sun was cut off and cut back on, it would take 8 minutes for it to reach Earth. And I've read before, it's been a long time back, but I believe they said There are probably some stars out there that have burned out, but the light we see is because the light hadn't finished shining just yet, but the star's gone. Now, that's kind of hard to fathom for me. My little mind can't wrap around some of that. But light exists basically as three different kinds. Natural light, that is light that man does not control, the sun, stars. And there's artificial light, this light that man can control, such as lamps and fires and candles and what have you. And also light exists, they call bioluminescence. That is fireflies and some bacteria and some fish in the sea even, such as the members of the squid and octopus family, the cuttlefish. They will actually change colors in the water. And the little firefly can generate light by the chemicals in his body. That is amazing to me. And he'll do that as long as he exists. I mean, y'all have all seen that. And that little fellas are flying around, and that light's just a flashing. That's bioluminescent light. And we as humans, we see different wavelengths of light as different colors. And in the spectrum, there are seven colors that exist: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Red being the longest wavelength, and the violet on the other end of the spectrum is the short wavelengths. And that's how we see colors in different things, is by the wavelengths of light through the spectrum. The human eye only sees about five colors in the rainbow when there's actually seven. But not too long ago, we were traveling, and very, very few times in my life have I ever seen a rainbow, and I got to see the end of it where it hit the earth. Has anybody ever seen that? Very seldom do you do that. Most of the time, it's over behind the horizon, behind the trees. But we were going down the road, and we actually got to see. I told my buddy, I said, pull over. That's where the pot of gold is, right there. But needless to say, he didn't pull over. So, but anyway, the rainbow is a beautiful thing. But as the light passes through, such as a prism or raindrops in the sky, it breaks up the light into the spectrum that we can see the colors. And scientists even measure astronomical distances with light. They have what they call a light year. That's how they measure great distances. And that is simply the distance that light will travel in a year's time, which is approximately 5.88 trillion miles. So there's a lot of interesting facts about light. And I read a whole bunch of other stuff, but a lot of it I didn't understand. So I'm not going to go into that. But while we were in darkness, our lives without God was just like prior to creation. It was without form, and it was void. However, when Jesus came into our life, he brought order and beauty by giving us light, just like God did in creation. And in this lesson, we want to see how he can bring spiritual light into each one of our lives. Amen. So how does light serve us? Without light, there would be no nourishment. For all the food we eat comes from plants or comes from animals that eat plants and supplies us with food. And plants require sunlight to produce food. And light, reflected light from objects allow our brains to interpret the signals. The reflected light shines into our eyes, and it's interpreted by the brain. And light also gives us the ability to view things in color and capture the beauty of a rainbow or a sunset or different things in this world that God has created. But when we look at light a little more deeply, we'll find that it has a spiritual meaning as well. Amen. Naturally, light is a part of the great plan for life. It's very complex, yet it's a simple thing. It's either on or it's off. It's either shining or it's not. And scientists, according to that article I read, they know how light behaves, but yet they do not fully understand why. And we know that all of creation is an interplay or an integration of matter and energy. And light consists of particles, like I said, that behave as wavelengths. And The article said when light interacts with matter, energy is exchanged in the form of protons, and the length of the waves determine how it is manifested to us. And if you don't believe light creates energy, in the hot summertime, go put your hand on the hood of your car. That's from the sunlight. And I tell you, when light energizes us spiritually, we need to be on fire for God. You need to be as hot as the hood of that car. Amen. So what about light? Light is the source of food. Without light, food or nourishment would not exist. And when I plant my garden, as many of you do, some plants, it'll say on there, require full sun. Some partial sun. But they all require some sunlight to survive. And we know the process is photosynthesis, and they create chlorophyll, gives them their green color and what have you. But I remember when I was a boy growing up, we had a frame that had a wisteria vine growing on it. And I hated that thing, I'm telling you. I hated that wisteria vine because I was the one that had to trim it. But every now and then, if I didn't trim it, it would grow into the, it shaded some windows, but it would grow into the eave of the house. And when Daddy saw that, he'd say, get up in the attic and get that thing out of the attic. It was funny how that thing could find its way through the eave of that house. But you know what was strange? Everything in the eave of that house in the dark was as white as that paper right there. No sunlight. It couldn't do its job. Yes, it had life from the tendril that went all the way back to the main vine, and it would actually put on a leaf, but it was real strange. It was just as white as it could be. I tell you, we need the sunlight of God to produce. Amen. We need to spiritually exercise photosynthesis and create in us what we need to survive and to be a Christian. Amen. Light is also the source of sight. And we know light is the source of all physical sight. The eyes receive the reflected light on our retina, and the optic nerve sends it to the brain. The brain interprets all of that. And the removal of light will stop sight, period. We have to have light. And I heard Brother Baggett teach on light one time, and all we see, like he said, is reflected light. We see what we see because light is reflected off of it. You cut the lights off, sight is gone. Cut the light off, your spiritual sight is gone and is no more. When we were young, we went. My grandmother lived in New Mexico. Went to Carlsbad Caverns, and I was just a young boy. And we got down in the bottom of that cave, and he said, "All right, all you parents, get your children by the hand. We're going to cut the lights off, and we're going to let you see our experience total darkness." And I promise you, when he cut those lights off, Mama had a death grip on us. There were three of us, boy. I don't know what Daddy was doing. She had all three of us. But you folks, it was like you could reach out and get a handful of it and stick it in your pocket. You talk about dark. And I thought about some people who don't have the sense of sight and how some can see some light through their declared blindness, but how some people who are void of eyeball, it's dark. It is dark. Well, I tell you, I don't want to partially see. I certainly don't want to not be able to see at all. I want the light of God in my life where I can see. Amen. I don't want to be experiencing total darkness in my spiritual life. Number three, light is the source of beauty. Light reveals all color and beauty, all the colors of the rainbow. We know how they combine to make visible light. And spiritually, from a spiritual standpoint, we ought to be concerned how we reflect colors to the world. When the light shines on you, you ought to be able to reflect Jesus Christ. In the article I read, there are three characteristics of light. It is absorbed, it is refracted, and it is reflected. Reflected light is what bounces off of you. The refracted light is light that penetrates something, such as a glass of water. Absorbed light is what creates energy, like I was telling you about the hood of your car. I want all three of those characteristics to be in me. I want to reflect God. I want to be penetrated with His light. And I want to absorb all the light that I can. Amen. And that comes through serving Him, studying His Word, and being in touch with Him day in and day out. Amen. The next thing is light is the source of rain. The sun's energy is the source that waters the earth. The energy from the sun evaporates the water. The clouds will go across the earth, which has uneven terrain, and how the earth will heat it up, and it will send the clouds up. They will cool off, and they will rain the rain back down. I tell you, I didn't realize how much impact light has on this world till I got to reading some of this stuff. Amen. And in the course of reading this, it talked about clouds before they cooled off and unloaded the rain or the moisture in that cloud, that they could hold tens of thousands of tons of moisture. How can a wispy little cloud hold that kind of weight? Oh, it's all because we got a great big God. He knows just how to do it. He knows how to send the light, create the clouds, create the rain that rains down on us. Light is the source of rain. Light is also a cleansing force. Radiant energy is a cleansing force. The gamma rays that they've been able to harness will destroy germs. Ultraviolet rays cleanse from bacteria. So there are a lot of things that light does in a natural sense that is going to apply to us in a spiritual sense. So spiritually, if we read the first chapters of Isaiah, you read about a very dismal picture of the condition of Israel and the shape they were in. And it was a very dark time until Isaiah said, I saw God high and lifted up. Things were about to change. There was a light that was fixing to come into the world. And he was prophesying to a group of people. And Isaiah 1 and 4 says, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. I tell you, on this dark and sinful world, God shined a light. Amen. And our world was the same way. We were in great spiritual darkness until God gave us that great, marvelous hope. And light shined into our light. And it was because of the great need of the true light that God Himself manifested Himself in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad He decided to send light to this world. Amen. We had the natural light. I know that. But we needed more than that. We needed the spiritual light of Jesus Christ. Amen. And He manifested Himself to us. And just like in the tabernacle, if you study some of it, the heavy curtains that were drawn and built part of the tabernacle, it pretty much snuffed out all the natural light. And the only light came from the candlestick, the golden candlestick, which was a type of Jesus Christ, our light. Indeed, folks, I tell you, Jesus Christ is the source of all life and light, both physical and spiritual. We need natural light, but more than that, we need spiritual light. Amen. Thank God for spiritual light. What are some of the attributes of light? In the first chapter of John's Gospel, the writer used the word darkness and light as two metaphors to represent the moral condition of all mankind. And I'm telling you this morning, the physical or the natural world is not compatible with the spiritual world at all. Jesus came and shined the true light into the darkness of this world. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care how dark it may get in your life, maybe individually, or even, it is not going to overpower the light. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Darkness cannot overpower light. When a light is shining, darkness cannot say, let's increase a little bit. We need to snuff that light. That's not going to happen. If you shine a light in a dark place, darkness is not going to overtake your light. You may have to replace your battery every now and then. I'm speaking naturally now. But darkness cannot overtake light. And don't ever think and don't ever believe that the darkness of this world spiritually is going to overtake Jesus Christ. They thought they had him one time for 3 days, but that didn't work either. And I think I've told you before, the devil does not own a key. Now, my wife, and I'm not criticizing her, but more often than not, she has to borrow a key to get in her classroom. Poor thing forgets her key to the classroom on Sunday. I've got a solution for that, but I don't know if she wants to hear it. But the devil don't have a key, and he can't go make one. He can't ask for one because Jesus snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He is powerless. His darkness cannot overtake the light. And I am so glad of that. Light and darkness cannot live together. Light has a battle to fight sometimes, but darkness can never overtake it. You never hear anybody say, go turn the darkness off. What do they say? Turn the light on or turn the light off. That's how we exist. Light has energy and will dispel.